Om Shanti. Good evening. I'd just like to give a little introduction to tonight's topic and a context for it, because Sister Rajni asked me to talk about this subject in the context of my personal experience over the last 2 years. So this will be more of a sharing than a class, and I hope that my little experience may be helpful to some of you if you have to go through the same experience that I have. So the context of the topic Conqueror of Matter is when we face karmic settlement through the body, you know, through physical problems or illness or whatever. So in the last 2 years, I have had 4 surgeries, and in last year, 3, within a period of 6 months, 3 lung surgeries in a period of 6 months. And the first one I had in Indonesia. I won't bore you too much with the details, but just to give the context. So the first one I had was in Indonesia, in Bali, and I was very fortunate because the surgeon was a BK, and he was the type of surgery that I had that was his specialty, that was his expertise. And so that was wonderful, and also I stayed on for 5 weeks in Bali after that, and was looked after very well by Baba's family there. And little funny anecdote about the surgery there, because he was Baba's child and surgeon and everything, and I met him the day before the surgery. He was explaining everything, you know, just very professionally, like your typical doctor. And when the day came, or when actually the moment came, when I was in the operating room, and I was observing the brother was pacing up and down the room, you know, I thought, everyone else was, you know, getting ready and, you know, all the equipment ready, and he was pacing up and down. He looked sort of a little bit different. And then he came over to me and he said to me, "Sister, I'm so stressed." "I'm just so stressed," he said, because he was feeling nervous about the prospect of having to operate on a BK. So I was like, I didn't know what to say. You know, what do you say when your surgeon is getting nervous? So I said, "Baba, what do I say?" So I just said to him, "Look, brother, I have full confidence in your ability as a surgeon." I said, "I have full confidence." Because before that, I was remembering a story which David Goodman had shared with me when he had surgery in Bombay in Baba's hospital. And he was saying it was so lovely because his doctor, just before he went, you know, unconscious, just reminded him, you know, "Just remember, Baba, it will be fine, you know, when you, you know, everything will be fine." And in my case, my surgeon was having like a panic attack before my surgery, but it was everything, he was fine after that. It was just the initial period, and everything went smoothly. And so, yeah, then for the last almost 1 year, I have been in Australia where I had the 3 surgeries. So I got a lot of chance to experiment with Baba's knowledge about being conqueror of matter and detachment from the physical body according to my capacity. I just want to stress that everyone's experience is individual and everyone's journey is individual, so we should be careful not to compare one person's experience with another person, because each person has different set of physical circumstances. Each person has a different situation in terms of support from others, and also each person has a different stage of development in their life as Baba's child. So we have to be careful not to compare one person's experience to another. And perhaps if I find myself in a similar situation, I should not feel bad if I don't find that my stage is as good as what I may have expected. So I just want to clarify that from the beginning. But when we're talking about being a conqueror of matter, the word that comes to mind is being a master. And another word for master, which I find easier to understand, is being in a position of empowerment. Yeah? Feeling self-empowered. Because when things happen to you which are outside your control, you could say that you don't have any choice or you don't have any control over the situation, then we tend to feel that we are disempowered. No? We tend to feel that I have to just accept the drama, but I don't feel happy about it, or I feel disempowered because it's not something of my choice. So one of the churnings or experience I had is that if we are a master of our situation, then we feel empowered, and we always have a choice, because part of empowerment is always having a choice. And in our understanding, it means a choice of how I want to live and how I want to go through, or how I want to live through an experience. Because one thing became very clear to me was there is a difference between pain and suffering. That is, pain is one thing, suffering is different. There is a difference between karmic settlement and suffering. Am I right? There are two different things, yeah? There is a difference between loss and suffering. So even as Baba's children, I find sometimes we think that karmic settlement means suffering. Am I right? We almost expect that if we have any karmic suffering, that we will, karmic settlement, I mean, that it equates with some kind of mental or physical suffering. So a position of empowerment in this case is when we can separate the two and say, yes, I'm experiencing karmic settlement, but no, I'm not suffering, at least not mentally. Because most of the suffering, as we know, is actually to do with our mind and how we position ourselves vis-a-vis a particular situation. So when we feel that pain and suffering, or karmic settlement and suffering, are one and the same thing, how do we feel? We start feeling sorry for ourselves, no? Or others also start taking pity on us. And that was also a very interesting experience for myself, observing the reactions of some of the Brahmins or the BKs in Baba's family, that some of them sort of had a kind of looked at me in a sort of like, I'm a pitiful person. And that was very interesting, because I thought that doesn't actually match with our knowledge, but that was just their human response, because sometimes we just don't know how to respond, and so some of them sort of looked at me with pity, or sort of gave me pity, and I found that that was, as Baba's child, that was quite disempowering. No? Because if we want to empower anyone who is experiencing some kind of karmic settlement, then we should not pity them, but we should be there for them in their journey in whatever way we feel is appropriate, but not to feel sorry for them. Because sometimes when we watch somebody else going through a difficult experience, it is actually more difficult for the onlooker than it is for the person themselves. Because I have many experiences when, as a patient, you don't feel that bad, but when people look at you, they look like, you know, because you have all these gadgets and things attached to you, and they look at you like, oh goodness, you know, like that. But actually the person themselves could be, you know, quite okay. It is more difficult to watch other people going through difficulties or suffering than actually experiencing it yourself. And I found that one of the biggest challenges is being in the atmosphere of a hospital and watching other people or observing other people, because those people without knowledge or without understanding were definitely quite unhappy. So that was more challenging than facing something myself. So that it helps to know that we have to distinguish those two things very carefully, settlement of karma and suffering. And then we are aware that our experience is what we construct in our own mind. That becomes our reality. So when we say that the soul and body are separate, we say that, okay, I am a soul and I'm not this body, but we don't have to say that it's only the body, because sometimes we change our language a little bit as Baba's children, so we say, it doesn't matter, it's only the body, right? Have you heard any bhikkhus speaking like that? And so we tend to, you could say almost we are disrespecting our body, because if you think about it, our body is our only life companion as a bhikkhu, meaning that it's with us through our whole physical birth and our whole bhikkhu birth. So we shouldn't show it disrespect by saying, oh, it's only the body, you know, because it's not exactly like that. Of course we are not the body, we are a soul. And so what is happening to the physical body doesn't have to happen to the soul, yeah? We can separate the two, but we shouldn't disrespect what is our physical process by saying, oh, it's only the physical, it's only the body. But we have to respect whatever is our current experience. And that helps to have a kind of harmonious or a peaceful coexistence. Because if we, what is the reason why we suffer, or what is the cause of suffering? One of the experiences or one of the realizations I had is one of the reasons why we suffer is because we reject and do not accept something. You know, like, let's say for example you have a conflict with someone and you would prefer that you don't have that conflict. So in a way you reject, or you resist rather than reject. You resist the situation, or you avoid it, or you wish that this is not happening. You know, so subtly sometimes we also think, this shouldn't happen, this is not what I want, you know, etc., etc. So we resist an experience, and that resistance causes inner conflict, and that inner conflict leads to stress, and then, of course, unhappiness. So one of the points that I found very empowering was to say that in my mind was that I embrace whatever is happening, whatever situation is happening, and also I embrace the choices that I make. Because sometimes we may make a choice and later we feel that we made a wrong decision and therefore we have regrets. Regret is another cause of suffering, usually because we feel that we have made a wrong decision. So embracing our choices means accepting that I made a choice to the best of my capacity, to the best of my knowledge, as the correct choice. And if it turns out that that is not the optimum result, or there is not an optimum result, then I don't have to punish myself by blaming myself for making a wrong, or for taking a wrong choice, or making a wrong decision, because that is again about resistance. So I'm not accepting the choices that I have made. So in a way, when we talk about accepting the drama, it's actually making peace with it, you know? Acceptance means you make peace with, if you accept another person, it means you make peace with them and you allow them to be as they are. So if I'm accepting my situation or I'm embracing the reality of the drama, it means I am allowing it to be. I'm not rejecting it, because the rejection or resistance is what causes us suffering. Even on a physical level, when we accept or even welcome something, it is a much more pleasant experience. In fact, it almost, without sounding a bit strange, it almost becomes enjoyable because we accept and welcome the situation. So one thing that we can do is, on a practical level, is, and we all have this ability to do this, is to change the atmosphere that is immediately around us. Sometimes we talk about, you know, spreading vibrations in the atmosphere, and sometimes we think that our vibrations have to reach thousands of kilometers. But even if I can change the atmosphere in the small environment around me, then I can consider myself to be a successful yogi. Am I right? Yeah? We will consider ourselves a successful yogi at least if I can change the atmosphere around me. So that is what I used to think every time when I was in the hospital, because we have these curtains, you know, around each bed. So I used to think, this is my little territory. I'm the queen of this territory. So in this small space, this is the environment where I want to create a beautiful atmosphere. And anyone who comes in this small space should experience the beauty of that atmosphere. So this was one of my yuktis, if you like, to transform the environment of the hospital. And one other method that I found that was very helpful was, and you've heard it before, it's very simple, nothing new, is to serve the people who are serving you. Because, you know, when somebody is paid to do a job, they don't always do it with their heart. You know, they're doing it as a duty, or they're doing it because, yeah, it's their job. But very few people really work from their heart. And so if people are helping you, but they're not helping with their heart, the vibration is different, right? So in order that they are assisting you, I'm talking about the people working in the hospital, in order that they assist you, you have to engage with them in a way that makes them feel happy about the work that they are doing. So often, in order, actually it was for selfish motive, I have to admit that I did this, because there's nothing worse than having someone who's tense, you know, to give you an injection, for example, or someone who's stressed, you know, or burdened or unhappy about their work conditions to look after you. You want to see a happy face, right? You want to see a smiling face. So for very, you could say, partly selfish reasons and partly selfless, I was always keen to engage with every single person working there so that they felt good about what they did. And there was one particular nurse, I'll just tell a story, who was very businesslike and quite strict, and I found a little intimidating. So there was a case with a difficult patient in the next room from me, and the whole day the staff had been trying to get him to do something. I won't say what it was. And they couldn't get him to do it. And so this nurse came on duty. She was very efficient. She sorted out the problem. So she came into my room after that and she said, "I sorted him out," you know, like that. So I was thinking at the time, oh my goodness, now it's my turn. She's going to sort me out, you know. So I was feeling rather intimidated. So I worked hard to befriend this particular nurse, because you never know if she's going to be on a shift again when you have the fortune, you know, to be there. So I tried to make friends with her. And then in my second surgery, she was on the shift again for me. And at that, by this time, we had quite a nice relationship, a friendly relationship. And so it's a time of day when every single patient has a particular injection. It's for blood thinning, because, you know, to avoid blood clots while the person is in the bed. So it's this time, 6 p.m., but actually it's supposed to be later. So I said to her, "Can I have mine later before I go to bed so I don't have to think about anything?" She said, "Sure." So then all the other patients in my room got theirs. And then there was the change of shift. So the new, when they hand over the shift, they give an update to the new nurse, right, that is going to be looking after the patients in that room. So she said to the other nurse, "By the way, I still have to give one injection to this patient," meaning me. "Please don't take it personally, but she wants me to give the injection because she feels very comfortable with me." So she said, so I was, in my heart, I was thinking, thank you, Baba, you know. At least I have succeeded in making her feel comfortable with me. Actually, I was not at all comfortable with her, but she felt that we had established a rapport. So it was a tiny exercise in how, you know, vibrations, how positive energy can change another person. And so creating the space around you, and also making choices within limitations about how you want to do something. So having a choice is very empowering. And one of the choices which I made was, you know, after the surgery they give you pain medication and they have a chart about what particular medication you are supposed to take. And they're quite militant about it, in that, militant in the sense that you basically don't have much of a choice, you have to take this particular medication. So the first time, lucky for me, I had an adverse reaction to some of the medication, so I was exempt from taking it. So all I took was Panadol, which I thought is pretty okay. So then I asked them if it's okay if I don't take the other medication. So the second and the third surgery, they already knew me, so they said, the team that looks after this particular medication said to me, okay, it's your choice. If you need something, you ask, but we won't prescribe anything for you. So when you need it, on a needs basis, you can have it. So I said, oh, thank you, Baba. 1 point. So I was so happy that to have that choice, because what I observe is certain kinds of medication influence your mind, and especially opiate-based drugs. Actually, they can cause you, I didn't know this before, you know, they can cause you even hallucinations, you know. And I only realized that when the team who were giving this medication would be asking the other patients, are you having hallucinations? I was thinking, goodness, you know, that's the sort of, you know, strength of the drugs that they give. So I really was very thankful to have that choice as to accept or reject, you know, to have a choice in what medication that I took. So making choices again is another part of self-empowerment. And the most beautiful experience is that in becoming conqueror of matter is that Baba is our constant companion in that exercise. So we are not alone engaging or practicing that, but Baba is there to help us at every step of the journey, to assist us by giving us tips, pointers, or direct help in any situation. And what I realized was sometimes we expect Baba's help through particular souls, especially through our instruments. You know, we think that in fact it is their duty, they are duty bound to help us, or that they will help us. But what I realized is Baba is has 1,000 arms, and he has millions of helpers, and he can help us through any soul, whether they are Baba's child or they are whoever it is, you know. Baba can send help through any particular soul that he feels is available and appropriate for the situation. I give you an example from my own experience. So my first surgery was removal of the, like you could say, half of the lower lobe of my left lung. And then when I was just about to go in, there is another person also being prepared for a different surgery. You can say in the room, which is the preparation room before going into the operating theater. So he asked me, what surgery are you having? You know, like patients love to chat with each other and it sort of breaks down the barriers and people feel more relaxed. So I said, it's called a segmentectomy or something. Anyway, removal of part of the lung. And then he said to me, you know, I only have one lung. He said, when I was 9 years old, I had one of my lungs removed. And they told me at that time that I would never be able to do any physical or stressful work, but I am actually a roof tiler, you know, the people who change the tiles on or put the tiles on the roof. So he said, and I only have one lung. So I was thinking how amazing it was that the person that was in the next bed to me was able to tell me that story, which made me feel extremely confident, and I was only having a small section removed, and he had had an entire lung removed. So that was very lovely. And there's another sort of experience. So each time, you know, after the surgery, you have a tube for the drainage, for the fluid from the body, and they take that out towards the end of your stay. So I always used to tell Baba, please send the experienced and competent nurses to do this particular task, you know, not someone who is less experienced, because it requires a certain amount of skill and it is done by two people. So on my first time, I got very experienced and competent people. The second time, there was on duty as my particular nurse was a new graduate. She was only 3 months graduate from nursing school. So I was thinking, oh, right. And I asked her, have you ever done this before? She said, no. She said, I've seen it done, but I've never done it. Okay, so I was thinking, okay, Baba. So I still said, you know, Baba, you know, this should be a good experience. So here she came with another nurse who was 30 years working, a male nurse, 30 years. So he said to her, because it's done by two people, one person removes the tube and the other person closes the hole where it was, right? It's very important that it's done in coordination, because no air should get in when they remove it. So anyway, so he said to her, I'm remembering Baba, of course. So he said to her, do you want to remove the tube or to cover the thing? So I'm saying, Baba, you know. So she said, oh, I think I'll just cover it. You can remove the tube, because I would like to watch one more time before I do it myself. So I was thinking how fortunate I was, because you don't know if somebody's doing something for the very first time, you know, whether they'll be quite okay or not. So I really thought that was definite, in my view, Baba's intervention and help, that it worked out in that way. So many different experiences. Also, in terms of the space between first, second, and third surgery, my surgeon said the optimal is 1 month. And but because he was on the Tour de France, he went cycling in France, so the space between my first and second was 2 months. So again, I thought this wonderful drama, because it gave me plenty of time to fully recover from the first experience until the second one. So again, these things may sound very minor to you, but you know, when you're in that situation, your world becomes very small, you know, and you are concerned about these small things are very important to you. So in these small ways, I experience how Baba helps, and because of that, it wasn't an effort to go beyond the body, because I just entrusted it to Baba. You know, you can really hand it over to him, and you're just cooperating, or you're just a willing participant, or, you know, Baba is guiding you in every way, and you don't even have to think about what is happening next, you know, what next, because what causes many people perhaps stress is, in karmic settlement, is we always think, you know, Baba, when will this finish? Do you ever think like that? You know, you have some problem or difficulty, and in the back of your mind you think, I hope this is over soon. Or, you know, how long is this going to last? Like, if you have a conflict with someone, sometimes you think, for how much longer is this going to last? So when we let go of that thought, it is very liberating. You know, when we let go of that thought, so we say, whatever is the journey ahead for me is a beautiful journey, because it's a journey with Baba. So then I don't have to think about how long, what kind of experience it is, because it's all a beautiful journey which we take with Baba. So this removes the stress of these questions, as Baba always says, the queue of questions about, you know, it's not just why, what, how, when, but the other question that we often ask is how long? You know, because we all like our karmic accounts to be settled quickly, efficiently, but then we never know. So just letting go of that and giving that to Baba, whatever is the journey, it's in his hands, and it can be a very beautiful experience. I'll give you an example, maybe that will make it a bit clearer for you, is that, say for example, you have committed a crime and you have to go to jail. Now, you know, jail in some countries is a terrible experience. You know, you could be in a cell with many other people and a shared latrine, you know, no sunlight or natural light. Or in some cases, in some countries, jail is such a beautiful experience because of the beautiful facilities that people actually are really happy to go there, you know, because they get lovely meals. They can even order from the menu list, you know. I do know in Australia it's like that. It's, you know, you can tick the menu what you would like for your meal. You can you can go to the gym, you can work out, you can pursue higher education. So, you know, all these things, still a jail, you know. So on one hand, the jail that is a very, you know, bitter experience, and then the jail which is very comfortable and very enjoyable. So I like to look at karmic settlement like that, is the, we construct the reality that we wish to experience, so we can make it, okay, we have to go to jail, right? That's the given, yeah? But that could be the most wonderful experience ever, you know, where you feel that you're totally like a VIP, you know, in the jail. So if we look at our karmic settlement in that way, it doesn't have to be a bad experience. It could be a very beautiful experience. It depends on how we approach it. And when we are open to making it a beautiful experience, then more and more beautiful experiences come to us. And that's just natural, because when we resist or when we resent something, you know what it is? It keeps following us around, you know? It keeps tagging on behind us. But when we embrace something and when we welcome it, then it becomes a pleasant and beautiful experience. But just to close, I'd just like to say that we also have to be careful in not creating any myths in our Brahman life about these things. Like, for example, this is extreme, but it's not true, but it's only an example. Let's say, for example, a BK gets run over by a truck, you know, on the road, and then the myth or the story is that after the truck ran them over, they got up and walked across the road unscathed, you know? This would be a myth, am I right? If you got hit by a truck, you're not going to just stand up and walk across the road without any injury. But sometimes, as a BK, we are almost would like this sort of miraculous things to happen. And if they do happen, and it could happen, if they do happen, sometimes we think that that is the benchmark for us. Do you understand what I mean? So sometimes we think that if I'm not a superhuman or a super yogi, you know, in approaching, in dealing with karmic settlement, then I am a failure as a BK. So we have to be very careful not to perpetuate any myths. So I don't want, you know, or we shouldn't believe that, you know, or use that kind of language where we say, oh, that's nothing, you know, it was nothing. You know, we shouldn't speak like that. You know, we have to speak in a mature way and with understanding, because we don't want to create a false benchmark, you know, for others. And then when they encounter difficulty and then they are really perhaps compromised or incapacitated, then they feel that, oh, my yoga was not good, you know? So we have to be realistic that our yoga will help us, I don't know to what percentage, but to a great percentage in dealing with any karmic settlement, but it will not erase the situation. No? But that's okay, because that's the process, otherwise we wouldn't call it karmic settlement. So we have to be aware that we should not create any myths, and that there are challenges, but Baba will help us in a way to deal with those challenges as they come. So in other words, don't think of the exam before the exam comes, but do the preparation, do the homework, and know that Baba is our constant companion in facing each and every situation. So I think I'll end there, if that's okay. If anyone wants to ask anything, I don't think so. It's just meant to be a kind of sharing of experience. If there are no questions, or anybody else would like to share something, you're welcome, or otherwise we can just have some extra meditation. So maybe we'll close with some meditation.